إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن والاه. وبعد، my dear brothers and sisters, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the relationship of the parent and the child and made this into a relationship of great significance. The relationship of a parent and a child in Islam is not merely the accidental biological relationship, but it's a relationship which has a religious significance. It's a relationship which has a lasting significance that continues after the person dies. That is the only relationship which continues to benefit, or vice versa, continues not to benefit or continues to create trouble after the person dies. As far as the child is concerned, in the hadith relating to Sadaqatul Jariyah, into the deeds that will benefit a person after he dies or after she dies, Rasulullah mentioned and said that a person's deeds end with his death, except three. And the first of them, not necessarily in any order, but first of them is the actions and the dua of a salih offspring, salih child. And then he said, the knowledge that you learn and teach. And then he said, any work of public benefit that you do. So the children, your children, are an investment for you. They are an investment in your akhirah. They are also obviously an investment in this dunya, because the children will benefit you in this world itself. And they will serve you and so on. Or they will not serve you, depending on what you taught the children. And we have examples right now in front of our eyes. We don't have to go very far to look for them. We have examples of both, of children who serve their parents and children who neglect their parents and ignore their parents. Especially those parents who get old, we see this all the time, that even where the question is not just a matter of sending some money, the question is paying attention to them, spending time in their company and giving them time and so on and so forth. Some do this and some don't do this. So the question is, this is the relationship of the parent and the child. Now, on the other side, which is the hadith and ayat, of course, there are the ayat of Surah Al-Luqman, the ayat of Surah Al-Isra and so on, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about the rights of parents. Inshallah, in the series on wisdom of Luqman alayhi salam, which we are doing in Jumu'ah, that also will come one day. But in the context of a hadith, in a hadith in Tirmidhi, narrated by Abu Umama radiallahu anhu, he said a man came and he asked, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what rights can parents demand from their children? And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied, they are, or your relationship with them is, this will determine your Jannah or your Jahannam. So he said that your parents are your Jannah or your Jahannam. The relationship with your parents is your Jannah or your Jahannam. Another hadith in Tirmidhi, narrated by Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, and he said, I heard Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam saying, a parent is the best gate of Jannah. So if you wish, keep to the gate or lose it. In another hadith in Bukhari, Anas bin Malik radiallahu anhu said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about the major sins, about the kabair, and he said they are, one, to join others in worship with Allah, which means to make shirk; two, to be undutiful to your parents, to disobey your parents; number three is to kill a person which Allah has forbidden to kill; And number four is to give false witness. So we have all of these hadith and there are more. We have the ayat of the Quran showing the importance of parents. So please understand that if you put these two together, that these hadiths are showing the importance of parents, and the parents are told that your children are your investment in the akhirah. If you want to put these two together, what becomes very clear is that all of this will happen provided you bring up your children in obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with value for the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What we see and what I see all the time is parents come to me, children come to me, husbands and wives come to me when they are in trouble. And then they want me to talk to the other party. So if it's the parents, they want me to talk to the children. If it's the children, they want me to talk to the parents. If it's the husband, he wants me to talk to his wife. And if it's the wife, she wants me to talk to her husband. Reiterating and emphasizing these ahadiths and these ayats. Reiterating and emphasizing the ahkam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with respect to their rights. Reiterating and emphasizing the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam relating to their rights. My question is, how can I reiterate and emphasize, and what is the use of my emphasizing? When you spent your entire life bringing up those children, you spent your entire relationship emphasizing the opposite. You did not obey Allah. You never told your child to obey Allah. You did not follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You never asked the child to follow the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You brought up a child who was Abdul Nafs, not Abdullah. You brought up a child who was a slave of his own desire. And instead of correcting the child, you fed the desire. I remember still a lady came to me, an elderly lady, she came to me and she had this long list of complaints against her son. She said, my son is this, does this, doesn't obey me and is very impertinent and is insulting and so on and so on. And then she gave me a list of all she does for the son. She says he has this car but he wants another one. He has and all high-end things. What for me took the cake was, she said he has lost 6 phones till now and I just bought him a 7th one. And still he does this. So please talk to him. So I told him, I said, sister, please do me a favor. I said, instead of me talking to your son, I said, why don't you adopt me? I will be your son. I said, I will be very happily your son and I'll obey you also. Pukat gaadiyan mil raha hai, phone mil raha hai, kya? So I said, no problem. I am yatim also. My father passed away, mother passed away. So I am a yatim and yasir. Please adopt me. your problem also is solved my problem. Inna lillahi wa inna ilaihi raji'un. So my point is, all your life you bring up your children as being slaves to themselves. Whatever the child wants. You know it is wrong, but you are just buying peace. This is the problem. And that's why I tell you sometimes, subhanAllah, seriously, that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned is, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam specifically made dua against it. And I have never prayed for wealth. Never ever. My father used to actually, sometimes my father used to, get irritated. And he would say, dua kyun nahi karte? Whenever, nahi hona. I don't want wealth. Alhamdulillah, Allah has given me enough. I always pray, I say, ya Allah, do not make me muhtaj on anybody. Give me enough so I don't have to ask anyone. And Allah has never, that has never happened. And I specifically say, and I say, Allah, don't give me more than that. I don't want. Because I have seen, I'm not saying for this applies to everybody. It doesn't apply. Alhamdulillah, there are people to whom it doesn't apply. But generally speaking, wealth is a curse. People whose children go bad, I'm not saying all poor people's children are, Hasan al-Basri in disguise. They are not. But the vast majority of people whose children go bad are people with wealth. Because constantly you believe that throwing money at the child will somehow cure the problem. It will not. You are actually feeding that nafs of that child. And you are training the child to become a parasite. And you are training the child to continuously follow his or her nafs. And the result of this is that at the end, it is an extremely sad thing to see those same children whose parents gave them money and money and money and bought this and bought that. Those same children ill-treat the parents, insult the parents. It's very, very sad. And there are no shortage of examples, unfortunately. So people come and say, no, my child only wears branded clothing. So I say, is your child earning money? No, my child not. How is he wearing branded clothing? Why are you complaining? He's wearing branded clothing because you're buying it. Don't buy it. Kya karta nanga pirta? Jag mar ke pirta nahi to kya karta? What else will he do? Seriously, I mean, we have to. I'm saying that it is no good complaining about the child if you did not bring up the child properly. They will be the way you brought them up. And that is the reason why Rasulullah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made your child an investment for you, and this investment will last. Because you have spent money, you have spent time and energy and so on and so forth. It will last. Just like you dig a well, just like you build a masjid, just like you build a madrasa, you build a school, you build, you know, a hospital, whatever. Same way, you invest it. And therefore, the investment will pay. There's a return on this investment. So also with children, there's a return on the investment. But provided there has been an investment. But if you did not invest, or if you did the opposite, so therefore I remind myself and you, let us wake up before it is too late. And let us make sure that the children only learn from us obedience to Allah and obedience to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then you can be sure that they will obey Allah and they will obey Rasulullah. And what does that mean? That means that they will serve you, because obeying Allah and obeying Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in their context means that they will serve you. Because they know that Allah will not be pleased. They know that you are the door of Jannah, you are the door of Jahannam for them, and they have to choose. But if you did not inculcate in them any fear for Jannah or Jahannam, he doesn't care. You are the door, so big deal. What to do? Be the door. That responsibility is ours. So being a parent is not just a biological accident. It is something that is a matter of great honor, and the honor comes because of the role of the parent. Because the parent introduces the child to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to his Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and brings up the child as a good Muslim, as a good practicing Muslim. That is where the responsibility is. Having done all of that, in some cases you find that you did your best and you did everything possible, and despite that, sometimes children, when they grow up, after they have matured, after they have grown up, they fall into bad company, they do bad things, and they make the wrong choices. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect your children from that. But if that happens, then inshallah you are not responsible, but because you took all care. But also I have seen that the cases where that happens, it does happen. I am not saying it doesn't happen, but those cases are rare. Just as there are cases where parents did nothing and they lived a life of total and complete disobedience, but the children turn out to be absolutely wonderful creatures. So obviously Musa alayhi salam was born in the house of Firon, and Nuh alayhi salam's son was born in the house of a Nabi. But these are exceptions. We definitely don't want to say that, you don't want to be the Firaun in whose house your Musa is born. So, it is very, very important for us. Let us concentrate on this. Think about this and say, what am I doing with regard to the upbringing of my children to make them obedient to Allah and obedient to Rasulullah ﷺ? Because your benefit and your position and your waqar and your maqam and your akhirah comes from that. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.